Boy, I'm so thankful that there is a God in heaven and that we can call on Him in times like this. Amen? And, you know, I saw an Instagram post not too long ago, and it said something along the line that said, like, if you just follow God, then everything will fall into place. And right there, I wanted to say, I wish. You know, I wish it was that simple, right? That all you had to do is fall into love with Jesus and that everything was going to go away. But that's just not the way it is. But, you know, there's a lot of people that believe things like that. They believe something along the lines of, that, like, if I believe in God and I give Him my whole life, then God will always make my life easier. Well, man, I want you to know, unfortunately, that is just not true. It's a lie from the devil. In fact, when you devote your life to God, it doesn't eliminate hardships at all. In fact, serving God faithfully oftentimes makes you a target. You see, when you're living boldly for God, the devil tends to take notice, doesn't he? And when things get difficult, sometimes people tend to think, well, I must not be in the will of God. And you might not be. You might not be. But when things are going wrong, it also might be the evidence that you are in the will of God. Because, you see, the devil doesn't like what you're doing for the glory of God. And so he starts taking notice and he starts coming after you. And so I want you to remember this morning that a spiritual attack, it's not a sign that you're doing something wrong. Sometimes it's evidence that you're doing something completely right. And so we're going to see this truth in this week's message. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 6. We're still in the Unwavering series that I'm doing, but I want to jump ahead just a little bit today to chapter 6. And we're going to look at the story of Daniel and the lion's den. And so how many of you know this story? It's an Old Testament story in the Bible. Raise your hands. You know, it's a real cool story in there. But back in the day, if you went to Sunday school or you grew up in church, many of you might remember these little things, finger puppets, right? And so today I thought it'd be kind of fun just to get some finger puppets going here as we tell the story of Daniel and the lion's den, all right? And so here's Daniel. Everybody say, hi, Daniel. Hi. All right, and here's the lions. Hi, lions. Just easy, easy. I have too much fun. I'm sorry. All right, so here in the story you have Daniel, and then you have these really, well, they're not so scary lions. I don't know why they made them cute, but they did, okay? So, you know, and you got this Daniel, and he's saying, I trust God. And the lions are like, I trust God, And it just goes back and forth. And so how many of you know how the story ends? Anybody know how the story ends? Does Daniel die or does God save him? God saves him. That's right. And that's important, and we're going to look at that in just a little bit. But first of all, I want us to see something about Daniel that I thought was kind of neat, because, you know, just like in this Daniel right here and the Daniel that I had in my mind, I thought that Daniel was like this young, cool dude that had this unwavering faith in God. And come to find out that he was at one time, like when our story last week, how we talked about him, he was about 15 or 16 years old. But today in our story today, Daniel is this really old dude, and he's a cool dude that has an unwavering faith in God, all right? But we see in our story today that Daniel was about probably in his 80s, all right? And so when we think about this story, that makes it just a little bit more meaningful to us at times, because he was probably in his 80s. That means that he had a lot of wisdom. He was old, and so he had seen a lot of things and done a lot of things, and he had wisdom, and it also meant that he probably went to the restroom two or three times a night, you know, being 80 years old. But we'll save that for another message. But Daniel, he had actually served under four different kings when he was taken into Babylon, okay? Four different kings, and actually three different kingdoms, if you will. And he served, we know, under King Nebuchadnezzar, which we talked about last week. I was wondering about that. Yeah, so everybody gets that one boo, all right? Nebuchadnezzar. All right, so there's your one boo. We talked about him last week, and we know that he was the evil king that conquered Babylon, and he took the children of Israel, he captured them, and he brought them into Babylon. And we know that Daniel was one of those guys. And then we see that he served under a king named King Belshazzar. Now, don't confuse that with Daniel's Babylonian name. Does anybody remember what it was? Belteshazzar. And so that was Daniel's Babylonian name, but Belshazzar is actually King Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. All right? And so if you remember the writing on the wall story in the book of Daniel, that's him, okay? And he was later assassinated, and we'll get into more of his later. But then we see that he served King Darius, and we're going to look at Darius today. That's the kingdom that we're looking at today, and he was an administrative genius, if you will. All right? But then in a couple of weeks, we're going to take a look at King Cyrus, who he was actually the Persian king that came in and captured and conquered Babylon. And when he did, then he let the Jewish people go back to their homeland. And so I said all of that to say this about Daniel with his 70-something years of his captivity. I want us to see that Daniel shared his unwavering faith with all four kings, and I want us to see how he did this. I want us to notice that he didn't criticize them, he didn't condemn them, he didn't call them names, but through four different regimes, Daniel consistently and he lovingly shared his unwavering faith in God, and what he ended up doing was he influenced kings without compromising his own beliefs. All right, and I want to show you how he did this. And so we're going to look in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. I want us to take in our story now. It says, "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom." So Darius, he was this very systematic leader, okay? And it says, "With three administrators over them, and one of whom was Daniel." All right, so we have Daniel and two other administrators. It says the satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. So what the king's doing is he's setting up his systems and his accountability. And then it goes on to say, now Daniel did what? Now Daniel so distinguished himself. I love that. He so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. All right? And I love the line where we're talking about Daniel's unwavering faith in God. It says he so distinguished himself that he stood out with yet another king. You see, all of these kings that we talked about, they seen Daniel and he stood out in them. And yet another king, King Darius, sees him and he stands out to him. And he notices him so much that he thinks, man, this dude is worth being promoted. And we're going to make him governor over everything. But now I want us to look at this Hebrew word that's being translated as distinguished here, okay? And it's the word mitnasa. Everybody say that with me, mitnasa. Isn't that kind of fun to say? Mitnasa. Sounds pretty fun to me. Anyways, so this is the only time that the Hebrew word is ever even used in the Hebrew Bible, is in this one spot where he's talking about Daniel being distinguished. And the word means to excel, to stand out, to prevail, to distinguish. And so Daniel, that's what he did. He excelled. He stood out. He served with such a faithfulness, and he was so excellent in everything that he did that he stood out. And it says that he distinguished himself so much that this king wanted to promote him. It's mitnasa. It's mitnasa. And I, you know what? I believe that as Christians, as Jesus followers, wherever you work or whatever you do or wherever you serve or whatever you post or however you treat people, I believe you should mitnasa. I believe it should be as unto the Lord, that we should stand out, that we should excel in that, that we should thrive, and you should always bring our best. I believe that when we're on our job as Christians, that we should stand out in the places that we work, just like Daniel did. You see, people should see that we're people of our word, and that we're faithful, and that we're the guy that shows up early and we leave late, and we bring our best every single day, and we treat people well, and we honor those people that are around us, and we meant not so. We should stand out. And I believe that with all my heart. And even Paul wrote this when he says in Colossians 3:17, he says this to us. He says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever it is, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, mitnasa. We distinguish ourselves and we stand out. And that's what we're supposed to do. But, you know, a lot of times I hear people tell me, they say, man, this world seems like such a dark world and it's getting darker by the day. And maybe it is. And I believe that it is. But what does that mean for you and I as a Christian, as Christ followers? I think that that means that it's time for us as Christians that we're to stand out, that it's time for you and I to thrive and to excel and to love and to have grace and to witness. You see, when this world is growing darker, I believe that you and I, our light should be shining brighter. Amen. We should be so distinguished that we stand out about how we care for people and how we love on people and how we serve people. And now let's look at the scripture. It says, talking about the other administrators, not only did the king see that Daniel stood out, but the other administrators did too. They saw this and they were like, oh, well, there's Daniel. He's getting all the attention again. He's the teacher's pet, if you will. And they hated Daniel. They didn't like him because of a little word called jealousy. They were jealous of him, and it created such tension and a hate inside them. And so what did they try to do? They did the very same thing that goes on in today's world. They tried to cancel him. You know, you think cancel culture is just in our time, but it's not. It was just as real back then. You see, they came after him, and they tried to cancel him, and they tried to make some accusations against him. And here's what the scriptures say about that. It says, at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, well, we'll never find a basis for charging against him unless it has something to do with the law of his God. All right? So now, I know we got a lot going on in that scripture right there, and I want to try to get to the body of my message today. And so what I want to do is I want to show you three qualities of someone that has an unwavering faith like Daniel had. All right? Three qualities. So in a world that's growing darker and darker, how do you and I, as Jesus followers, shine brighter and brighter in this world? I think the number one thing we do, and that is we serve God with integrity. We serve God with integrity. Daniel did. He served God with integrity so much that the king saw it and wanted to promote him. He was wanting to make him the leader of leaders. And then we also see that those leaders seen the same thing, and they got jealous, didn't they? And they started trying to find some way and something wrong with Daniel. And the scripture says, but they couldn't find anything, didn't it? It says they couldn't find any corruption in him. Why? It says because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. You see, the Babylonian leaders, they were looking for anything they could find to discredit Daniel. But Daniel, he was a person of his word, wasn't he? He was trustworthy. He didn't cheat on his taxes. He didn't gossip about the kings. And he served faithfully under all four kings that he had to. And it's because he served a God with an unwavering faith. And so Daniel served God faithfully and with integrity. And his life, it demonstrated that, didn't it? And, you know, we talked about it last week. We said that you may live in Babylon, but you don't have to let Babylon live in you. where we have to live in this world, but we don't have to let the world live in us, right? Because you see, as Jesus followers, we don't conform to this world. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind, amen? And you know what? You and I, we may live in this culture today that's growing darker, but you know what? What we have to do is we have to let our light shine, and we don't have to let the darkness in, amen? I want to get back to Daniel for just a minute here. Daniel continued to live with integrity in everything that he did. And the other two administrators, they seen this as well. And so what they decided to do, the Bible tells us that they decided to kiss up to King Darius. And they started flattering him and pumping up his ego and giving him praise. And so they kind of came to the king with this plan. And they said, hey, King Darius, man, your style game is going strong this year. And you're the GOAT. You're the greatest of all time. And you know what? I think you're just a living legend. And the king started hearing this stuff, and it started going to his head a little bit. And he's like, you know what? Maybe I am the GOAT. And they said, well, what you need to do is you need to make a law that if anybody in the next 30 days prays to any other god except for you, that you're going to throw them into the lion's den. And king's like, you know what? My style has been pretty strong this year. Let's do that. So he makes it a decree. And he says, if anybody prays in the next 30 days, he's going to throw him into the lion's den. And so we look at the story and we see, well, what does Daniel do? Because, you know, Daniel loved God, didn't he? He loved God, he worshiped God, and he needed God. And now Daniel's being told that you can't even talk to God. And so what do we do when the decree tells us to do something different than what God tells us to do? What do? And we can look at Daniel's decisions. He had three distinct choices that he could make whenever he was told the law was in effect, that he couldn't pray. He had to stop praying. And so the number one thing that he could have done, one of his first options was, is he could have stopped praying. He could have stopped praying, right? He could have said, well, you know what? I'm just going to take the month off of praying. It's only for 30 days. And so, you know what? If I pray, they're going to try to kill me. And it's so much easier to have a healthy ministry if I'm alive. And so I think I'll just take the month off. And that was option number one. He could have just stopped praying. And then option number two is he could have just prayed silently, couldn't have he? He could have just kept his mouth closed and his eyes open. They won't know I'm praying, I'm praying to Jesus. And he could have tried to trick them. But he didn't want to do that either because he's a man of integrity, right? And so option number three is he could just keep praying. He could just keep praying. And if he gets caught, what's going to happen to him? He's risking his life, right? They're going to throw him into the hungry lions. And so what does Daniel do? It says Daniel keeps praying, and his enemies, they kind of tell on him, and they rat him out. And eventually, Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. And I want to ask you again, did Daniel die, or did God save him in this lion's den? God saved him. Did he know that God was going to save him at that moment? I mean, was there a guarantee God was going to save him? Did God give him some voice and say, I'm going to save you, just go on in, it'll all be okay? No, he didn't know. He didn't know how the outcome was going to be. But what he did know is that he had an unwavering faith in God. Even when he didn't know the outcome, his faith didn't waver. Let me ask you this question. I had to ask myself this question. What would you do in a case like this? Would you pray? Would you be faithful to God when it could cost you your life? How brave are we sometimes? How faithful are we? Because you see, Daniel, I don't know why I keep saying David. Daniel didn't know that God was even going to save him. He had no idea. He had no idea that one day people were going to share this story everywhere they go. He had no idea that people were going to name their kids Daniel. You see, he had no idea what the future held. And you know what? This story could have ended a whole lot different, couldn't have it? It could have ended like, Daniel was in the lion's den and there was blood everywhere, And it makes it pretty hard to make one of these look cool with blood all over it. So anyhow, it's a good thing the story didn't end that way. But it could have. It could have went a totally different way than it did. Daniel had no guarantee. And so what did he do? He just kept on praying, didn't he? And so how do you and I, how do we have faith like Daniel? How do we live with our conviction in a culture of compromise? Well, number one, we found out that as we can serve God with integrity, and the second thing we can do is we can trust God with consistency. All right? Consistency. I want us to look at Daniel 6:10. It tells us this. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, and the law saying that you can't pray or you're going to die, okay? It says, when he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God. And I love this part right here. It says, just as he had always done. Now think about this. Daniel didn't wait until he got thrown into the lion's den before he started to learn how to pray, did he? No, he already knew how to pray. He wasn't like, oh no, they're fixing to try to kill me. I need to call out on God. How do I do this? No, he did what he had always done. He already knew how to pray because he had in his past, he had sought God. He had faithfully cried out to God in times that he needed him. And the Bible says that three times a day that Daniel would get down on his knees and he would pray. And so whenever this decree came out, he did what he had always done. He got down on his knees and he prayed. Now, why does this matter? It's because it's not what we do occasionally that makes a difference. It's what we do consistently. Okay? And when you think about it, you'll never really be close to God if you only occasionally seek him. We've got to seek him every day. You see, you'll never be consistently strong in your spirit if you're not seeking God every day. You'll never consistently die to your flesh if you're not seeking God every day. You'll never walk faithfully and by faith and not by sight if you're only seeking God occasionally. If you'll never do that consistently if you only seek God occasionally. So it's important for us to seek him every day. And that's one of the things that we do as people of God. You see, we're people of God's word, right? We're people of the word because God's word is alive and it's active, it's powerful. It convicts us. It directs us to do the will and the work of God that he's asked us to do. And so we seek God in prayer and we fellowship with other believers like we did on First Wednesday just this past week. We had the meal and we had a wonderful outpouring of the Spirit in our service, and we fellowshiped with some games afterwards. And so we hung out together and we got together, and what we do when we get together is we pray for each other a lot of times, don't we? And so, like, I don't understand. What do people do? How do people that don't have Christian fellowship, how do they make it through this world? How do they do it? I mean, seriously, like, when your marriage needs prayer and there's no one praying for it, or when your kids need, or they're sick and no one's visiting, how do you make it when you're hurting and no one's standing with you to pray with you? I tell you, as people of God, we need to stand together, don't we? We need to come together as the people of God in Manasseh. Amen? And I know with you guys, you're here this morning. I'm talking to the choir right now because you're here. And I praise God that you're here. I'm talking to those that aren't going to hear this message today. They're not here today because maybe there's a football game going on, or it's too hot, or it's too cold, or maybe it's too rainy, or they just wanted to sleep in. I don't know what the excuse is, but you and I, we're people of God, aren't we? We're people of God, and we come together, and we're the body of Christ. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's not what we do occasionally, though, that makes the difference. It's what we do consistently. And that's why coming to church is so consistently is so important for us if we're going to walk in this dark world. And so it says here that Daniel prayed as he always prayed. You see, he's under attack. And I think it's so cool that his very first response, what was it? Was it to cry? Was it to run away, to throw a fit, to get on social media and type in all the bad things that's happening to him? And was that his first response? No, it wasn't to panic. His first response was to pray. But you know what I see in the world a lot today is I see us, and I'm guilty of it too. You see, the world gets dark and we start to panic, and then what we do is we go crazy trying to figure out how to fix everything. We'll manipulate things. We'll try this. We'll try that. We'll do whatever what we think we can do, and then we'll look at each other. We'll say, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. And I want to tell you, if I'm God, I think I would be a little offensive if I heard you say that. Well, I guess all we can do now is pray. You see, as the world is getting darker, what can you and I can, what can we do? We can pray. We can seek God. You can menatsa. You can be the light in this dark world. You can stand strong, and you don't have to panic. You can go straight to prayer because we know that there's a God in heaven. Amen? And in fact, there's another little verse in Daniel that I think is pretty cool, and that's Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. It says this. It says, God controls the course of world events. He removes kings, and he sets up other kings. Man, it's important for you and I to know this morning that God is in control. There is a God in heaven, and he is in control. And so what do? We seek him, don't we? We need to seek him. We need to stay plugged into him. We need to consistently, not occasionally, but consistently stay connected to the vine like we talked about a few weeks ago. We need to be living off the nourishment of God. Amen? And so we look at what Daniel does, and whenever what he does is he prays. And it's pretty neat to me because I remember looking at this text and reading it this week, and it says that he was kneeling. So he wasn't standing up, was he? He was kneeling before the Lord. It said he would go to the room and he would get down on his knees three times a day, and he was kneeling. And so you know what? It struck a chord with me because recently I had one of these moments where I was in my prayer time, and if you're like me, I can give you a little example of my prayer time. Sometimes it goes like this: I think, okay, I need to pray, and so I get around and oh God, I love you and I'm thankful for today, and God, could you help me with this? And oh, just a minute, God. Oh, I was going to fix something. What was I going to do? I needed to bring that and grab that. And oh God, I'm sorry. I was talking to you and I thought about that, and you know, welcome to my prayer life, right? And so I get so wound up in all the things that go on, and I can't concentrate sometimes. And so one of the things that I've learned to do, and that's just kneel before the Lord. It's just to get down on my knees, because I want to tell you, there's something about both the humility and the reverence where you just start to remind yourself that you're not in control. And so you get down on your knees before the Lord, and you just reverence yourself, and you just, something about it lets me know that I'm not in control. And whenever I'm that way, it seems like I can get my mind more focused and more centered on God. And can I tell you that either you're going to kneel down now or you'll kneel down later. The Bible tells us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, it's so important that every day that we seek God, that we say, God, I need you. God, I worship you. God, I trust you. And you see, Daniel, he didn't do this just when he was desperate, did he? No, he did it daily, kneeling before God. You see, he could stand strong before men because he knelt before God. If you and I want to stand strong in our life and in our relationships, we need to kneel before God as well. Amen? And so what do? The world's going crazy. How do we live by our convictions? Well, first of all, we serve God with integrity. We trust God consistently. And then also, we honor God with our unwavering faithfulness. Man, can I tell you, if there's one quality that you and I should have as a disciple of Jesus, and for me, it's the one I want the most, and that quality is to have an unwavering faithfulness. Unwavering faithfulness. Because I want to tell you, one day we're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on Judgment Day, and we're going to want to hear him say, good job, well done, my good and faithful servant. my good and faithful servant. I want to tell you what you're not going to hear. You're not going to hear him say, well done, my good and wealthy servant, or my good and important servant, or my good and popular servant. He's looking for faithfulness. And that's what my whole message today is, to try to encourage you and I to have this unwavering faithfulness in our lives. You see, this is where it gets, I don't know, I guess important to me when I look at Daniel and being 80 years old, or in his 80s at this time, because I think about this story and I think, well, for 80 years, God has been faithful to Daniel. Did everything go right? Did everything go well? No. Same for you and I. Is everything going to go right? Everything going to go well? No. But for 80 years, we can see as we study Daniel that God had been faithful to Daniel through four different kings, through a foreign land, when Daniel had everything ripped from him, everything that mattered. His parents were stolen from him. He'd lost all of his family. He's taken into a foreign land, and he's taught the Babylonian ways. And for 80 years, it doesn't matter where you read this story over and over again, you're going to see that God had been faithful to Daniel. And so what did Daniel do? Daniel chooses to be faithful to God. You see, remember last week we talked about how he resolved and he predetermined things. And that's what Daniel did in his mind and in his heart. He resolved and he predetermined that he was going to do what was right no matter what. And he said in his faithful, as much faith as he could, he said, if God saves me, I trust him. And if I die, I still trust him. You see, it didn't matter if he was going to live or die. He was going to faithfully serve God. And so he prays. And then I want us to see really quick in this story that King Darius, you see, King Darius, he liked Daniel. He liked him so much. He was distinguished and he thought he needed to be promoted. But now here he is. He finds himself trapped by a rule and a decree that he made himself. And so I'm sure whenever Darius talked to Daniel that he was like, man, why did you do this, Daniel? Why didn't you just not pray for 30 days? I don't want to throw you in here, but now I've got to stick to my word and I've got to throw you in there. And as he's throwing him in, he whispers to him, says, hey, Daniel, I hope that the God that you serve continually, I pray that he rescues you. And the king, the story tells us that he went to bed that night, but he couldn't sleep because he's so worried about his friend Daniel. And so he gets up early the next morning and he goes running out and he's yelling, Daniel, Daniel, did your God rescue you? And after a night in the lion's den with the lions who looked a whole lot more vicious than these right here, we can read in 6:22 and 23, it says this. It says, my God sent his angel, and my God shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done anything wrong before you, your majesty. And the king was overjoyed, and he gave the orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, and no wound was found on him. Why? Because he had trusted in his God. Amen. There was no wound found on him because he had trusted in God. And because Daniel had this unwavering faith, he was able to spiritually impact four different kings, three different kingdoms. And King Darius, when he saw this, he issued a decree to everyone. He said, everyone in the nation, he said, you need to fear Daniel's God now. He's like, if this God can do that, then he should be the God of your life as well. And so there is a God in heaven. I want you to stand with me, if you would, really quick. And now we see that God shut the mouths of the lions and God delivered Daniel. God was faithful. God had always been faithful, hadn't he? And if you missed last week's message, who's the main character in the book of Daniel? God. That's right. God's the main character in the book of Daniel and every book of the Bible. But also, every story in the Bible, I want you to understand, it points to Jesus. Every story points to Jesus. And this story here is no different. I want to show you just a little bit of how this story here foreshadows the story of Jesus. You see, just like Daniel, men conspired against Jesus, didn't they? And just like Daniel, men set traps for Jesus. And just like Daniel, Jesus was falsely accused by his enemies, wasn't he? And just like Daniel, Jesus was condemned to die a violent death. And just like Daniel, he was put into that cave, and it was put on there with a seal so that no man could interfere. And just like Daniel, Jesus walked out of that grave alive, and he's risen from the dead because God is a good God, and he raised his son from the dead. Amen. There is a God in heaven this morning, and he's in control of this world that we live in. And so no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what's going to happen tomorrow, I want you to know today that you can trust God and his goodness this morning because there is a God in heaven. And that God, he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our devotion. And he's worthy of our faithfulness. And you and I, we can have an unwavering faithfulness just simply because there is a God in heaven. I wonder how many of you are here this morning that you might be here today and you're just worried about something. Or maybe you're just burdened with about something. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's a spiritual battle. Maybe you're having opposition in your marriage right now. Maybe you were hurt by a friend and you're trying to learn how to forgive. But there's something that's going on in your world today that's weighing you down this morning. And you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I want to be like Daniel. I want to have an unwavering faith. And I just want to bring that to Jesus this morning. And I want to put it at the foot of the cross. I want to do that this morning. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand this morning. I'm worried about something. I have something going on in my life, and I just want to give it to Jesus. Amen. Jesus sees your hands this morning. And I want to tell you something else. You see, the devil, he's our enemy, and he's there to lie to us. And that's what he's best at. That's his best weapon, is to lie to us. And so if you come this morning and you say, Pastor, I want to lay that down at Jesus' feet, and I don't want this burden anymore. I'm tired of carrying it, and I just need God, and I want to have an unwavering. I want to have an unwavering faith. Man, I want you to know that that's possible this morning, and I want that for you. But I also want you to know that the devil is going to try to trick you. The enemy is going to try to come to you before you probably get out these back doors. And he's going to say, you know what? You need to go back and you need to pick that up because that's your responsibility. That's your mess. That's your stuff. That's your junk. And you need to take that with you. And you know what? I see it time and time again. I've done it time and time again. Where I come in and I get inspired by God's word or by a song, and I think to myself, I am so tired of carrying this burden. I want to give it to Jesus. And I go and I give it to him. And then I pick it right back up. And I take it with me because it's the mess I made. It's mine. And it's because I don't have an unwavering faith that says, you know what? I can lay that at the foot of the cross because there's a God in heaven and he loves me and he cares about me. You see, that unwavering faith can happen because there is a God in heaven this morning. And I want to pray with you this morning. If you're here and you're burdened and you're going to come and you want to lay something down at the foot of the cross this morning, I want you to do that. But I want to encourage you, don't listen to the lie of the enemy when he says, go back and pick it up. I don't know how much time I have, but I read of a story one time about this tribe over in some other country. And in this tribe, if you were murdered somebody and they caught you and you were convicted of murder, what they did is they didn't sentence you to prison or anything. They would take that dead body, the person you murdered, and they would strap that body to the person. And they would have to carry this dead body everywhere they went. When they laid down at night, they had to sleep with it. They had to get up. They had to eat with it. And the stench and just the nastiness of it would seep into their body, and it would eventually kill them. And they would die this horrible, slow death. Can I tell you? That's a lot like coming down here and you crucify your sin and your flesh and you lay it before the Lord. And before we get out the back door, the devil lies to us and we go running back and we pick it up and we strap it to us. And the sin and the burden and the things that you're trying to get rid of are the things that you're carrying around and you're not even supposed to. You see, you're supposed to have unwavering faith and give it to God. But then our faith gets shaken and our faith begins to waver. We pick it up and we strap it to us. And eventually that sin is just going to sink into you again and again and again, and it's eventually going to just bring death to you. And that's why it's so important for us this morning to have an unwavering faith. Because just like Daniel, there's times in our life that don't go good. There's times in our life when it just falls apart. And we don't know what to do. We need to get on our knees like Daniel. And we need to do what we always do, what we know to do, and that's to pray and to seek his face and to seek his forgiveness and say, God, I want to lay this burden down and I don't ever want it back. If that's you, I want you just come down and kneel and let's pray. Let's lay some things at the altar today. I believe God is in this place and he's here this morning. He's saying, come to me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many of you are tired this morning? How many of you are just broken? And you say, Jesus, I need you this morning. I talked about it earlier. We pray together, don't we? We're people of prayer. We're together. We fellowship. We pray together. And so right now, I would love it if some of you would come and pray with these that are down here this morning. As they're laying their burdens and their weights at the foot of the cross this morning, can you just back them up in prayer as a prayer warrior and just lay your hands on them and just pray for them this morning and let them just stand in the gap for them. Maybe they don't have the strength this morning. Maybe this morning they think they do and they're going to lay it down, but the devil is going to talk to them and they're going to come and pick it back up. Let's pray that God would let them release it today forever and ever. Amen.